This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us.
Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Friends, we're back again. It's Joel Pearl, Jeremy Lambert, Fightful.com. We're very excited to welcome ahead of the Black Label Pro, Paragon Talent Group, and DraftKings presents Crowning Glory, the Wrestling Combine. We're happy to welcome today Mike Rallis and Tennille Dashwood. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing real good.
Jeremy, go ahead. I'll let you start us off.
You're the leadoff guy. Okay, let's start off with the Wrestlers Combine. As a sports fan, I'm very excited for this. Mike, I know you've got the football background, the NFL background. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw the interview that Mojo Rawley did with Fightful, but he put you over and that you had all the records at the WWE PC Combine. So when Mojo approached you to do this, like, how quickly was the yes?
Right away. I mean, this is definitely right up my alley. I mean, it goes back before wrestling even. Obviously the NFL Combine is a huge thing. I didn't do the NFL Combine, but there's something called a Pro Day. So a bunch of scouts came to the University of Minnesota and watched us do all those same drills. And, you know, I had a 38-inch vertical and a 10-foot, 4-inch broad jump, which were, like, very high in the linebacker category. So I've been wanting to do this. I've been enjoying doing this stuff for over a decade now. And it's true, Mojo is not lying. At the PC, I held all the records. And I enjoy that stuff, man. I take pride in being athletic and working hard at being athletic and strong and fast. And I try to always transfer it over to the ring, too. I mean, one of the things that I get a lot of comments for that people remember me for from my time as Madcap and Riddick in WWE was how fast I ran the ropes. And it's a simple thing, but I think it goes a long way. And I love doing that kind of speed power stuff.
Your explosivity was another thing, by the way. Your medicine ball toss was a big deal. They aired a video on it on the WWE channel. It was yourself and Tino Sabatelli were kind of neck and neck. There was one point where you kind of had a little smack talk. You were saying, you know, you had been competing all day. Tino was coming in fresh. Like, I know you're obviously a big competition guy, but, like, was there more smack talk going on during that whole thing, or what was that ordeal like?
Oh, man, it between Tino and I, for sure. And it honestly, I can say it legitimately got very heated at times. And it didn't, neither one of us intended it to be that way. It was supposed to be friendly trash talk. But we both take a lot of pride in how taking care of our bodies and being those athletic guys and being big, strong, and fast. And not everyone is that way. Some people are more technical wrestlers. Some people are big characters. And so at the combine, they kind of just, you know, hide to the side and, you know, hopefully they don't get too exposed. But Tino and I were as loud and brash as we could be. And I love Savvy, man. I love competing against him. He's super explosive. I mean, talk about explosive. The guy's just got natural quick twitch ability. And so we were always neck and neck in all those competitions. He probably had me in some of those speed, pure speed, although I think I got him in the ring speed. I think that's a different kind of thing. But and then I think I had him on some of the strength stuff. So he's a great athlete. But as we've already said, as Mojo said, I had all the records at the combine. So I'll talk my trash still to Savvy out there. You know, I still held all the records.
Were there any names that were like surprising when you guys were there of, oh, I didn't know he or she could do that. And like, they were that fast or they were that strong. Like any surprising names that might jump out at people.
There always are surprising names in those. You don't even know where they're going to show up. I mean, I'm going to say some obvious ones first, but the first time I saw her, I helped out at her tryout and I was just amazed at how good of an athlete she was. But when you see her do these things in the combine, Bianca is just like such a stud. The way she just like is so powerful with just a single leg as she bounds or whatever she is, it is that she's doing. Her and Tez are both so explosive. And so they always stood out to me in those combine instances. I'm trying to remember of some of the surprises. I mean, Boogs was, the first combine he competed in, he was like fresh in the PC and I didn't really know that much about him. And all of a sudden there was this guy who was just a nut and he was like screaming and you know what I mean? All of a sudden he's like super strong and he actually got even stronger and stronger in his time there. He's a super hard worker, but yeah, that was like the first time I ever saw him. So it was my introduction to Boogs was like him screaming and deadlifting 700 pounds or whatever he did. So he stood out to me as well.
We actually never had a combine when I was there, by the way.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think back. Well, I'm like, we didn't have that.
And how would you have done?
I would have killed it, obviously.
Okay.
So yeah. I was going to ask you, Tenille, was there any interest from you in joining the field for this particular combine coming up?
Well, I've actually never done a combine, but I am definitely proud of all he's achieved and I'm definitely competitive. So I'm going to be there to, you know, egg him on and support him.
We are both very competitive. And one time we were playing this silly road trip game on one of our long drives where basically the idea is just a geography game and I name a city and then whatever letter that city ends with, she has to name a city that starts with that letter. Anyway, we went on for like 3 hours and then we started naming like obscure towns that we weren't even sure were real and then had arguments about if they were real. And eventually we just had to call it and say just like, all right, it's a tie because neither one of us would give in to say that that was a legitimate city or wasn't. So we're both very competitive to a fault, possibly.
What do you think of the field that Mojo has kind of put together for this combine? We got Jake Hager, we got Moose, and we got Parker Boudreaux as the other male competitors in this. And then for the female, it's Mandy. You mentioned Tino Sabatelli, Mandy Sachs, Mandy Rose, Tino Sabatelli's better half, Jordan Grace, Zaya Lee, and the former Dana Brooke, Aspire Elegance, also in the field for the women. What do you think of the field here?
I mean, I think it's great. I think it's a studly field. I mean, Jake has been, I mean, he's a stud athlete for a long time, going back to his amateur days. I mean, he's huge. He's strong. He's explosive. He moves well, controls his body. You can see it in the ring. I just saw a video of Parker Duncan, and it looked like it was nothing to him. I mean, he's a smooth, big, strong guy, very athletic. And then Moose has been, I mean, just in the independent scene in TNA for years now, has been one of the top guys. I did a tryout with him as well. He's a supreme athlete, former NFL guy, super strong, but very smooth in his movements too, which I think sometimes athleticism, you think just like explosive, that's all you picture, but being able to control your body is super important too. And when I look at all the guys, I think they all stand out to me. As far as in ring, you might be able to speak to the girls more, but I've seen the girls in the weight room before and they're all, yeah. I mean, and just, I mean, with Ash by Elegance being able to do the flip on her entrance. I mean, you can just see.
I mean, yeah, she's a gymnast.
So yeah, Mandy's super strong and fast and athletic. I mean, they're all, it's like a great field. I mean, Zaya,
Jordan's a beast. Yeah. I mean, she's kicked my ass a number of times in the ring. But I will say that Zaya is kind of like, you know, I don't know, a bit of a threat that I wouldn't have thought about. I don't know, something, because like she's very talented in things that maybe the others aren't that or don't do, you know.
And she works her butt off.
Yeah, and she trains hard. Like
she trains hard. She's another one. I did her tryout in China and immediately she stood out as someone who, one, is going to work hard, but also very athletic, in control of her body, but strong. Like it's a great feel.
I see her doing like, I don't know, 300 burpees for cardio. I was like, what's wrong with this girl, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like when you talk about the wrestling scene, I think you got eight of the studs in wrestling.
Yeah, really, really good. Like
whoever wins this,
going to be competitive. Yeah, that's for sure.
It's not going to be easy, and they've definitely earned it.
Now, do you think it's actually a benefit to you, Mike? One, Tennille's going to be there cheering you on, but two, Tino, I assume, is going to be there, and he might be talking some smack. And it's you're not going to be one of showing up here. Like,
I'll take care of Tino.
Yeah, I'll stick Tennille on Tino. No, you know what? If he shows up and is talking trash, I think that plays into my hands.
Yeah,
because that's gonna, you know, there's a monster somewhere deep down inside of me. There's that ego that's just begging to come out. And if he pokes the bear down in there, it's gonna come out. And
he's gonna want to get involved. He's gonna be like, he's not going to watch.
There might be a run in the combine. I'm gonna be running the ropes or something. He's gonna slide in and clothesline me and then run the ropes for me. I hope he does. I hope he talks the trash. I mean, you look at the greatest athletes of all time that need no extra motivation: Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, Tiger Woods. They still take that little bit extra motivation. Someone talking trash. They might not even actually talk trash. They might just make it up. So even if Tino doesn't show up talking trash, I might just make it up in my head that he is. So it gives me that little bit of extra fuel that I need.
I'm sure you're familiar with the Jordan stuff of, oh yeah, this guy told me I was trash. And like, I never said that to him. Yeah. And Jordan just made it up so he could just play better. It just fueled him in such a way.
It's crazy because you wouldn't expect those guys who are so motivated to need any extra, but it still happens. And Tom Brady, he won't really tell you about it, but there'll be a DB who says something during the week. I actually don't think they're that good. They can't throw deep or something. They'll make sure to throw deep on that guy. Like, they do that.
Well, that's what makes them the best, right?
Yeah.
They just can use everything as a positive.
Yeah.
Mike, you mentioned taking part in a few tryouts and helping out with those. How does that opportunity come about? Are you're asked to do it? Is it something they volunteer for? I'm curious about the tryouts and how you get involved in those.
Yeah, it's something that you get asked to do. And I think it's something you have to earn the coach's trust to be able to, more than anything, just follow directions and set a good example for everyone there. And that's how I always saw that role. Some people would get involved and start trying to give advice. I never really saw myself. I didn't want to get involved in anyone and try to play favorites or anything like that. I was there just to help people along, because at my tryout, I had Wesley Blake there, and he was so helpful. I have kind of a crazy tryout story myself, where the first one I went to, there was only five guys. I had to do two tryouts. The first one was supposed to be like elite athletes. And within the warm-up period of about 10 minutes, everyone else had dropped out and either pulled a muscle or were puking. They were just so tired. And I was the only one going, and I was thinking like, well, I'm killing this. You know, like I got this job for sure. But then as we kept going, I got pretty tired because I was the only guy going. And Wesley Blake was there to kind of like encourage me. He's such a good guy, very knowledgeable about wrestling too. But he was there to push me along and help me out, keep me positive. And then they ended up telling me, actually, we need you to come back for another tryout because we didn't even get to half the stuff we normally get to. And so then I came back to like a full tryout, a typical tryout that I would then eventually help out at. And I did. I know how nerve-wracking that can be, right? I mean, you can speak to that. You had a crazy tryout yourself. And just to put myself in their shoes, I just wanted to be calm, a calming force for them. A reminder for them, hey, don't be down, don't drag, your feet, whatever. Clean your feet on the ring apron before you get in. All those little things that just are going to trip them up if they don't stay focused. So that's what I was there to do: demonstrate drills, keep them in good spirits. But I don't know if you want to talk about your tryout at all.
My tryout was pretty different. I don't really remember people like helping out like that, but it was definitely intimidating because we had like five of like the coaches and the main guys kind of just like watching over us for a week. It was a long tryout back then.
Yeah.
And it was like the same kind of thing. They were watching anything and everything you did. So you just had to always be on and doing the right things and impressing the right people.
Yeah.
I was going to say, how much has the performance center just overall changed? Because Tennille, you were there early on, and then by the time you guys were unfortunately released, like, it had changed so much, and a lot of NIL involvement, a lot of, you know, just athletes with college backgrounds in there, but just like the big picture changes in the Performance Center.
Well, when I first started, it was actually FCW, so it was before She's them. that's shows how long it's been. But then, so we moved from Tampa to the PC when it first opened. So I was there when it all started, which was, you know, just a very exciting time to be part of that. And then, like I said, I was gone before the combines and all that started. So that's when you were there.
Yeah, I mean, I feel
progressed
like
progressed a lot over the years.
I was there. Like when I first got there, it was kind of still similar to how it was when you started. Mm-hmm. And in my time there, it changed a lot. And then, you know, after I left and came back to, I had a rehab injury there a couple of times. It was so different. And I think when it really started to change was when you got guys who were brought in for NXT TV, but they weren't really PC guys, and nothing against them, but it just kind of created this two different brands, basically, where there was the NXT touring brand with guys like Bobby Roode, who had no business, he didn't need to go to the PC, right? He was so experienced, so advanced. But then there was guys like us who were not her, but guys like me who were in there trying to figure out what we were doing still, and doing all of the local shows and stuff like that. So that's when it first started to change. And then, like, it just transitioned more and more into a TV product when we went live. And then now with the NIL stuff, it's like so different, and some of it's for the better, I think. Some of it's probably for the worse. It's just there was so much emphasis when I first got there on like dedicating yourself to the business of wrestling and everything that meant, and respecting the business. And you know, I don't want to come across as a bitter old guy or something like that, but I think that there's not as much of an emphasis on that now, and it's much more about promoting your experience there, whatever it is.
There's a lot more athletes now rather than wrestlers, it seems like.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When I was there, it was definitely a lot of people coming from independent wrestling. And now it's almost the opposite.
Yeah.
Not many wrestlers and a lot of athletes starting from scratch. Mm-hmm.
One of those independent wrestlers that you faced, Mike, towards the end of your tenure in WWE was the current world heavyweight champion, Gunther. Now, you guys had an Intercontinental Championship match at Elimination Chamber in Montreal. I was there. I was covering the whole weekend for Fightful. And to me, that was a standout match, not just of yours, but also a kind of an underrated match in Gunther's title reign. Talk to me about not only working with Gunther, but also kind of having the opportunity to showcase yourself a little further than the character that you were playing at the time kind of gave you.
Yeah, well, thank you for saying that. I really enjoyed that match. I mean, Gunther is, it was very unexpected. I mean, to be honest, I don't really know where that came from. I have some theories, but I had hardly been on TV. I hadn't picked up a win in ages. And then I won the Fatal Four match the week before where I pinned Rey Mysterio. And even that was confusing. I was supposed to steal it, but then when I suggested stealing it with a roll up, it was like, no, you can't steal it that much. Steal it with an elbow drop. And I was like, is that really stealing it? Like, all right, whatever you guys say. So anyway, that set me up to wrestle Gunther, and the Montreal crowd, certainly they took more to him, which was interesting. I think if we were in, I can't remember where we were the next week, but it was like a classic wrestling town where they cheered the baby faces and booed the heels. And I remember being there and talking to Gunther and thinking like, hey, if we did it this week, the crowd would have been better for what we were trying to do. But I think as long as the crowd's making noise, which they were, that's all you can really ask for. And what I love about Gunther is, first of all, he doesn't think in a typical format. He's not going to just go out there and go like, oh, okay, this goes first, then this, then this, then this. He's going to think like, how do we get these people into the match? And so just something simple, like I took a shoulder tackle and instead of selling it, I sold it a little bit, but I slapped the mat like I was pissed and I shot right in for a double leg. And it's just little things like that that he helps put together, that those kind of intense moments I think I thrive with. And I think he does a great job knowing himself, also knowing his opponent, and then understanding what the crowd is going to want to see and feel from that match. And so I think that was a really cool opportunity to wrestle one of the best pure wrestlers of the last, I don't know, 20 years or so, maybe ever. And in a really fun environment in Montreal where the crowd was, you know, super into everything really. And definitely one of those matches that it was a weird time for my character and in WWE, but I had a lot of fun with that match.
Okay. Is one of those theories Paul Heyman? Because I don't know if Paul Heyman spoke as high about anybody else that he didn't work with on television. Every time any Paul Heyman interview, when he talked about like, he's got next, it was always Riddick Moss, Madcap Moss. So what was it like behind the scenes with Paul Heyman?
Yeah, he was a huge fan of mine and a huge advocate for me. And, you know, he and actually Brock were, and they were great to me. They brought me under their wing. They let me sit in on discussions where they were talking about the business and just how you should approach things. And I learned so much from those guys, and they were advocates. I mean, the first time I got brought up to the main roster was basically 100% because of Paul and Elias. That's he was the one who alerted Paul that my contract was running out and I was just going to leave the company if they didn't do anything about it. And I was just in NXT doing nothing. And Paul basically gave me a shot there and kind of just let me run with it. And he didn't give me too much individual instruction. And I think I thrived with that. And I think he knew that's what I needed after maybe NXT being a little bit too micromanaged. And he's responsible for really giving me that chance. And then everything that followed is because of that. So, I mean, I owe Paul a lot for everything that happened in my run there.
But most importantly, you chasing down R-Truth after losing the 24/7 championship. What was that whole framing of the segment? You're chasing him down the street. That got a lot of people talking. That was the explosiveness and the speed that you had. What was that whole segment, you know, that day like?
Man, that was at like the very beginning of COVID when we were all just trying to figure out what the hell was going on. And the PC mania was right around the corner. And they were bringing Gronk in. I knew that was coming soon, or I didn't know that, but it eventually did come soon. And so that was just like, you know, hey, it was near my apartment. And they were just like, hey, meet us, you know, out down by the street. And so it was like, you know, maybe I think one cameraman, you know, like a sound guy, a producer, R-Truth and the ref. And we just like looked around my neighborhood and was like, hey, that's maybe a good spot right there. Like, is there any cars coming? All right, let's film this thing. So it was like, it was a very strange time. All of that time during wrestling was very strange. I mean, you wrestled in similar environments.
Wrestling's so funny when you think about
it. Yeah. It's wrestling is so reliant on the fans, and you don't even realize it until you remove the fans, and it's just very strange without the fans.
Oh, yeah.
And I would for sure, that was around the time I did Raw Underground as well. I would for sure do 24/7 segments outside with R-Truth or Raw Underground before I wrestled in front of no one in the Thunderdome. The Thunderdome was very awkward.
Oh, I want to ask, to piggyback off of that, Tenille, you were in TNA Impact at that time, and they did the tapings at the Skyway Studios. So what was that experience like for you?
The same thing. It was just strange. It's, you know, just you go out there to just an empty arena, and then you just got to kind of switch it on and, you know, act as though, you know, there's people watching at home or somewhere. So you just got to deliver still and perform. But it's definitely, I mean, I think for me, because I was playing a heel at that point, it's definitely a lot easier to just, you know, be a bit of a smartass as I am. And it, I think it's maybe harder to be like a good guy when there's no crowd, especially because when you're a heel, you can kind of just play it up, like, or make whatever you want of it.
Yeah.
I could even talk to myself if I wanted, or, you know, I can talk about how good I am, you know, like,
yeah.
But,
I did a lot of talking to announcers definitely weird. When I was in that role.
Yeah.
I said, hey, are you seeing this right here? I'm kicking his ass. You know, it's like,
yeah. It's definitely a huge relief when the crowd came back, that's for sure.
All right, this is the most important question. Really the one that I have to know.
Oh, man.
Mike, did you fancy yourself becoming a travel vlogger after, you know, everything, after you started moving away from wrestling? Was that something you planned on doing? Was something you wanted to do? Did you ease into it?
Ever since I was 6 years old, it's what I've dreamed of. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, that it's something that... the traveling in general is something that I've always thought was really cool. And I've kind of liked doing, but I like to say I was kind of a poser, like a fake traveler. Like, and, I claimed I liked it and liked doing adventurous stuff, but it wasn't until she actually pushed me over the edge that I actually started doing it. And we would go to these crazy locations. I mean, just amazing. Like the Dolomites in Italy, with the mountains are just like, so pick, it looks like you're looking at a painting. You just can't even believe it's real. And we just started thinking, like, we got to document this stuff more than we are. And I never envisioned that. But when I would go to these places, I couldn't help but envision it. And now that we have done it a little bit, I do really enjoy doing it. And I enjoy trying to put together an episode that's, you know, all entertainment is very similar in that you're trying to tell stories.
Yeah.
And
it's like a creative outlet.
Yes.
We're in control of.
Exactly. It's
different.
Yep. And, you know, trying to, you know, tell the story of not only the location, but our time there and our activities there, and trying to make it center around something as opposed to just, you know, being one event after another, similar to a wrestling match. You don't want to just be one move mm-hmm. after another. You want it to center around an idea. And so I've really enjoyed doing it. When you're in WWE, you feel restricted, and they, with some people, at least they've gotten better about allowing you to do outside projects. When I was there, I felt like there was nothing that I could really do. And since leaving there, it was like, I just want to do everything now. And then, like, I honestly had to dial myself back a little bit because I really was like trying to like, oh, I'm going to do this and this and this, and I'm going to become a football analyst. And I was like, didn't have time to do all of that. I was not. So I just had to be like, all right, let me just dial it back to these few things. And I have the travel blogging, although the editing can get very long. I have really enjoyed it.
I think that's where it came in handy that I had that 5 years away from WWE. So I was out on my own, you know, working for other companies and traveling around the world. So in that time, that's where I was like, for all these years, I haven't really like lived my life in that sense. So then it was time for me to go, okay, instead of going, you know, on a Europe tour where I'm in a city for one day and then onto a bus or a plane again, I'm going to go and spend a week in that place or 2 weeks around going around Europe, all those things. So that kind of definitely pushed me to be, instead of that person that talked about, I wanted to do these things, I was like, I'm just doing them now. Like, you can't stop me. So, and that's kind of, you know, where it comes in handy, because he liked the things that I was doing, the traveling I was doing. And then we talked about it. So I just started saying, okay, well, now we're going here. Now we're doing this. I start making plans. It's like, you can't talk to me about a beautiful place in the world and me not plan a trip immediately.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask was, Tenille, you were doing all of this before. And then Mike, I guess, you know, you wanted to do it too. Did you find it was a challenge at first to kind of work with each other in front of the camera in that regard? Or was it kind of an easy transition?
I don't know. I think it was kind of easy. You know, obviously we're both used to being on camera. And like I was saying, the beautiful places, that's kind of just the scenery is just unbelievable. And then we're doing like fun activities and working with tourism boards and doing all these things. That's like interesting and, you know, eating at these awesome places. And yeah, it's kind of easy to have fun with it and kind of, you know, obviously we feel very fortunate to be able to do it as well, because a lot of people can't travel like that. And so we're kind of making a job out of it now and enjoying it.
One question I've been waiting to ask 5 years. So there's an interview you did long time ago. Yes, it was way back when. And I don't like bringing up a bad time in your career, Mike, but it was after your Achilles rupture and you came back after 5 months from it. And you did an interview, and this was after Kevin Durant ruptured his Achilles as well. And you said, I'll get you on the Riddick regimen. Come on, I'll help you out. Did you ever hear from Kevin Durant or anybody else to help in the recovery?
Unfortunately, I did not hear from Kevin Durant. And I thought there was actually a chance, because Kevin will respond to people on social media. Like he's not above that. So I thought if I chirped him enough, he would respond, but he didn't take the bait. So I never got to help him, and he did take way too long. You know, he took over a year or something like that. So
he missed an entire season.
Yeah. We could have got him back quicker. I'm pretty sure if he still is feeling like, or if he has another injury come up and he wants to recruit the Rawls regimen to help him out and get him another NBA championship,
give him a customized program.
Now, not as a member of the Suns. I'm a bitter Thunder fan, so he can honestly lose and I'd be fine with that. So yeah. I don't wish injury on anybody, but I was happy to see the Warriors lose.
Yeah. And well, I'm a Timberwolves guy. I'm from Minnesota. So
okay.
This past year was exciting. We swept the Suns. So Ant-Man, you know, Ant-Man took care of business with KD.
So that's a team that I'm a little afraid of as a Thunder fan, with Edwards on the rise and Gobert and Towns being kind of a two-headed monster there. I'm like, oh, that's a team that's going to give us some trouble.
Yeah, they got some, you know, the most hope that we've had in a long time. It's been a rough existence as a Timberwolves fan. but I didn't hear from Kevin, but I did actually hear from a few other NFL guys, just guys that I had connections with who did tear their Achilles. And I did help as much as I could. That was a rehab that went extremely well for me. The Achilles, they have gotten better with repairing it, but it's kind of a scary injury. You hear a lot about guys never really recovering all the way back to their previous athleticism. And, you know, to bring this full circle back to the combine, it was a little under a year after my Achilles rupture that the blowout combine victory that I had at the PC happened. And that's when I set the record for the speed in the ring. And I still jumped over 10-foot broad jump and a 35-inch vertical, all those things. So I was extremely pleased with how quickly I recovered and got cleared by my doctors and made it back to the ring, but also getting my explosiveness and athleticism all the way back. And again, it's just something that I've prided myself on for a long time. I love working out. I love all things diet and training. And that is what inspired me to now start the Rawls regimen and try to help other people out, try to pass along some of my knowledge.
That explosiveness, that athleticism, it's going to be on display September 4th. That's a Wednesday night. Black Label Pro, Paragon Talent Group, and DraftKings present Crown and Glory, the Wrestling Combine. If you can, go check it out. Go to blacklabelpro.com for tickets, or it'll be live on Chris Van Vliet's YouTube channel. Before we let you go, Mike, Tenille, do you want to plug anything before we're out of here?
Well, I kind of just did, but I'll just reiterate the Rawls regimen. If anyone, we don't just do, you know, extreme Achilles recoveries and getting you back in 5 months so you can broad jump over 10 feet. We like all sorts of training, just health and wellness in general. That goes with athleticism. There's a few wrestlers that we're training right now, some people on the main roster and in WWE, but also NFL coaches, expecting mothers, you know, 60-year-olds. We're training a wide variety of people, and we can really customize it for whatever you need, however much time you have. And we, like I said, my brother and I say we're the masters behind the whole thing. And we really enjoy all aspects of health and wellness, and we really try to view it in a holistic manner. And just recently is when we started doing our customized programs for people, and just being able to see the results that they get really takes it to the next level of how much I've enjoyed doing it. And it's going really well for a lot of people. And if you're interested, go to RawlsRegimen.com.
There you go.
I'm going to go off of that. Speaking of, you know, the whole health and wellness thing, I actually started a newsletter recently. You can go to my social media and sign up for that. But I've also been writing an ebook on how to heal psoriasis naturally, the skin condition I've struggled with since I was a teenager. So that's going to be out within the next week, hopefully. So that's super exciting. I'm hoping that I can, same as you, you know, help a lot of people that need help with their skin and their health and wellness. So you can basically see all that on my social media and follow my page there. But we also have an exciting thing. Within the next 2 weeks, you'll see on our social media, but we're actually going to be appearing on TV again soon. So we'll be on Amazon Prime Video, but I won't say what it is yet. So within the next 2 weeks, we'll post something to let everyone know some cool news we have.
A lot of exciting stuff. And the book is really good. I read it. Highly recommend it.
I'm Googling reality shows on Amazon Prime to see what this might be. Go ahead, Joel.
You might be able to figure it out.
Just drop the scoop. It's cool. It's cool.
I didn't give away too much. I didn't say when it is, when it's out, when we're filming. But I just said in less than 2 weeks, we'll post something about it.
Yeah.
We'll keep our eyes and ears on that. And, of course, the Wrestling Combine. For Mike, to Neil, for Jeremy Lambert, I am Natural Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us.
Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.